Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This is the We Are Going Up podcast. We've got the Football League covered. We are going up on the road.
Hello and welcome to episode 163 of We Are Going Up, and that sunshine is very bright. It is Sunday, the 11th of October 2015, and as is tradition, David Cameron Walker, where are we?
Well, we are standing outside one ground, but I can see another ground just very, very close to us indeed. So we're standing outside Meadow Lane, the home of Notts County, and of course, just over the River Trent, it's the City Ground, home of Nottingham Forest.
And this ties in with our special month of themed shows. And we're going to be celebrating the football city of Nottingham this week.
We are indeed. So I thought it'd be good to do an episode to sort of tie in, broadly speaking, with the two unfortunates. They're doing a theme at the moment, looking at football cities. There's some really good pieces on their website. I was reading one just this morning about Bristol and the city of Bristol. And so we're in Nottingham. Nottingham is a city with a proud football history, but not exactly experiencing the best of times at the moment.
They're not. Karma Queen's here as well.
Hello there.
This is a flashback, isn't it?
It's like 2011.
We've been back for a university reunion, so it's sort of the morning after the night before, as it were.
And the day before.
So hopefully we're going to hold up all the way through this. Coming up, we're going to be speaking to Paul Smith. No, Notts County fan and sports journalist, and we'll hear his thoughts on what's been a mixed start to the season for the Magpies.
Sometimes we look brilliant, particularly at home. Four wins on the trot at home and playing some really nice football, which hopefully you'll see today. It's just allied with a real inconsistency away from home where we just can't stop conceding goals, so it's really frustrating so far.
Also on the way, we'll find out what the Notts County fans have made of their new manager, Ricardo Moniz.
He's an interesting character. I'm yet to make up my mind on him. You know, some of the tactical decisions are not quite there yet.
I think he's slowly growing to understand League Two football in England. I don't know what the Dutch football's like, but there's certainly different philosophies from the different nations.
I'd like to go to some nicer grounds next season, and I'd like a happy husband and to enjoy my roast dinners on Sundays
don't
a bit more.
Yeah,
I know.
More from them later. The game today is Notts County against Plymouth Argyle, who are flying high, second in the table.
Yeah, they've made a really impressive start to the season. Derek Adams has been a hit so far. Some of the players he's brought in from Ross County, his previous club, have hit the ground running, and seems like a good time to be a Plymouth fan.
It does. On the way, you're going to hear the thoughts of Chris Errington, the Plymouth writer, for the Plymouth Herald.
Even in pre-season, they settled in pretty well, the new signings, and a sort of the nucleus of the squad from last season that got in the playoffs and the new signings have gelled, and you know, Argyle have made a great start to the season.
More from Chris on the way, and it's a hell of a long way from Plymouth to Nottingham, and this time on Sunday we're going to be speaking to some of the hardy souls, the Pilgrims fans who've made the trek up to Nottingham.
Yeah, new manager, new team, rebuilt from last year, John Sheridan gone. Pleased with the start they made.
Considering Derek Adams was fairly unknown to us, when I found out about his appointment, I did a little bit of research on him, and then it's like, okay, a few good signings, and it's been all good so far, especially past two games have been awesome.
Absolutely cracking, yeah. He's really sorted the team out. So he's got, from a strong start last season with some good players, he's really brought in some cracking new players, additions to the squad. And they're just taking it on to the next level. So hopefully have a good season ahead.
Much more from the Plymouth fans later. We've also got our take on what goes on in this Skybet League 2 game. And as we're celebrating Nottingham, you're going to be speaking to the director of a brand new film called I Believe in Miracles. What is this all about?
It's about Brian Clough and the amazing rise to winning the league, winning the European Cup in the 80s, late 70s, early 80s under Brian Clough, and Peter Taylor as well. It looks really good. It's out nationally, I think, this week. So we're going to have a chat to him.
And also the two managers as well, Ricardo Moniz and Derek Adams. And I think you're desperate for a drink.
Yes, I am. Come on, let's get inside.
We are going up live.
Well, we've moved inside Meadow Lane and we're now perched at the back of the press box. And David Cameron Walker has got a very weird cable situation going on here. His phone is being charged half the length of the press box. I'm not quite sure how that's happened, but it's a perfect day for football.
It is, absolutely. The pitch looks fantastic. Some very interesting pitch designs. So they've got like circles in the centre circle, got crisscrosses in the penalty areas, there's circles round the D, and then just sort of normal stripes up the middle. But the surface looks immaculate, which certainly has not always been the case here at Meadow Lane. I can remember coming to some games few years ago when we were at university in the city, and the pitch was I think they shared it with the rugby club then, and the pitch was always terrible, particularly in the winter. But great day, should be some good football on show, hopefully.
And wonderful big massive pole right in front of your view, the one of the nets.
Yes, yeah, I think I'm going to have to craning my neck around the pole to see one of the goals, but yeah, that's fine, all part of the character.
Before we crack on with the serious Notts County chat, Carl McQueen, review of the matchday programme.
You know what, it's actually very in-depth. I'm quite enjoying it. There is a lot of there's not too many adverts. You tend to find nowadays it's actually adverts for local window cleaners. It's all the same stuff. I'd like to extend a warm welcome, etc, etc. Big game today, apparently.
Well, it is a big game. Notts County then, inconsistent start to the season, very very good at home, not so good away from home. Remember, this is their first season in Sky Bet League 2 after relegation last year, and it's been a bit of a tumultuous, if I can use that word, few months, changes on and off the field.
Yeah, something like 18 new players I think it was during the summer, maybe a few more on loan now. So they've got a very big squad here, and I know the manager's recently been talking about the need for players to leave Meadow Lane, such as the size of the squad, but they brought in players with experience, and they already had some experienced players there. As I say this now, I can see Alan Smith out there in the middle taking part in a possession drill. I'd forgotten about him.
It's a long way from the Olympic Stadium scoring against Lazio in the Champions League, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And he's not here today, of course, on international duty, but Roy Carroll is the goalkeeper here as well. So they've got some very experienced players to go with a few young ones. And it's always difficult, isn't it? I think when you bring in that amount of players in the summer, I'm not surprised that they've had an inconsistent start to the season, because they're probably still working out the team, working out the tactics, getting the players settled into the club, into the area, to getting to know each other. So I think it's always going to take a bit of time, but things, I think, are on the up. Moniz was nominated for Manager of the Month, so I think things are...
This is Ricardo Moniz, yeah. The Dutch manager who came in towards the end of last season.
Yeah, and obviously they got relegated, but I think there's a certain amount of mitigating circumstances there. They were on a pretty bad run before he came in. He's an interesting guy, though. If you look at his record, quite a few clubs that he's coached as well as managed. Yeah, he actually, his background is in like skills coach and technique coaching. He's a disciple of the Dutch football coach Will. Will Kerver, which is.
We're going a bit hipster here. Go on.
Yeah, he's quite a revered name in the world of coaching, and another such. Contemporary, I suppose, of Moniz is Rennie Mullenstein, another coach who studied under Kerver. And yeah, now he's made his way to Meadow Lane, Moniz, which is he's had an interesting journey. He was at Spurs once upon a time as a skills coach, but he's also been at Hamburg as a technical coach, Red Bull Salzburg as a personal coach, it says on Wikipedia. I don't know what that means. Then he was manager of Ferencváros in Hungary. He's been over to Germany with 1860 Munich, and now finds himself in League Two in Nottingham with Notts County and Meadow Lane. So he's had an interesting journey and an interesting start to life as Notts County manager. From what we've spoken to fans already today and looked online and stuff at the forums, the jury seems to be out still on Moniz in terms of whether he's the man for the job here. But they need some consistency. They can't, you know, they change a manager again. They've had so many managers in the last few seasons, constantly sacking managers and then giving the caretakers the job, and then, you know, 6 months down the line, cycle starts again.
Well, actually, at home this season, in particular in the last month or so, they've been very good. Last few home results, 1-0 win against York, 4-1 win against Crawley, 3-2 against Luton, 3-1 win against Mansfield in the JPT as well. We caught up with Mr. Paul Smith right outside the massive tree outside the main entrance to Meadow Lane. Paul Smith, football writer, freelance sports journalist. Sorry, you want to say something?
So Plymouth fans are in good voice already.
They are. Paul Smith, freelance football writer, Notts County fan. We've had him on the show before. We caught up with him just outside the ground a few minutes ago, and I started by asking what he's made of this inconsistent start to the season.
The word to sum it up is frustrating, probably, so far. I think we all had a lot of high hopes at the start of the season, having seen all those players come in. some really good strong names in there, John Stead, Isar McLeod and that sort of thing. And having been relegated and the noises that were being made by the chairman and the manager indeed, that we're obviously going to go all out to go back up. I know it's early days still, we're a couple of months in, but the amount of games we've already lost is a bit surprising, particularly some of the losses that we've had. And the frustration is because sometimes we look brilliant, particularly at home, four wins on the trot at home and playing some really nice football, which hopefully you'll see today. It's just allied with a real inconsistency away from home where we just can't stop conceding goals, so it's really frustrating so far.
Do you think there is promise though and potential that this team could get better and could, you know, being as it's so early in the season still, could get up towards the playoffs still? Because as you say, the home record's been really good. The manager was nominated for Manager of the Month in September, so it's getting better gradually.
Yeah, I think so. I think I'm still optimistic. I was speaking to my friends and family who are Notts fans, and I told them I still think we'll get at least the playoffs. And the reason I think that is because of the statements made by the chairman and the fact that he's prepared to back the manager so much. If there's a gap which needs plugging on the field in terms of personnel, I think he'll go out and back the manager to do that. And if you look at the signings that we've made, like I said, John Stead, Isar McLeod, Graham Burke, and allied with people like Liam Noble that's already here, those players can walk into any team in this division. So I think we've got the personnel. It's now about the manager just settling the team down a little bit, not making ridiculous amounts of changes like he did last week. And I think if we get a settled first 11, we can go on a really good run and still get up there.
I was going to ask you about the manager, because obviously quite a controversial decision to get rid of Sean Derry when they did last season, relegated. What have you made of him?
I still don't know what to make of him, to be honest. Obviously, he was a little bit of an unknown. Well, he was an unknown to us when he came in. But the chairman really, really keen to get him in. I think he tried to get him in previously and wasn't able to, but they managed to do the deal. I can't blame him for last season going down, because we were already on a real downward slope and I don't think anybody would have saved us. So it was a clean slate, really, in the summer. He's been backed, as I say. He's been allowed to bring as many players in as he wants. And at the minute, he's proving frustrating with his tactics, with his team selections. I think he's getting a fair amount wrong. And it's perhaps putting us in jeopardy. I think the manager so far is the one that's to blame for the inconsistency rather than the players themselves, because he's changing and chopping and changing tactics and starting lineups too much. But I think there is something in there. He talks well, he wants to play football the right way. He's picked out some really good signings. So if he can just start trying to get that consistency in team selection, he could do all right. But he's got a big month this month, I think, to get it right.
And I think you do need to back him and stick with him, perhaps, because this has not been a very stable football club, has it, for a number of years now. There's been a lot of managerial changes. There's been problems off the field as well. So, you know, just some consistency, not sacking your manager for once in a season would be a good thing, I think, wouldn't it?
I totally agree, yeah. And I think that's perhaps why he will be given a bit more time. I think the chairman's readily admitted himself that he sacked managers far too early, and I think he really wants that stability as well. But at the end of the day, if results aren't coming, then there will be noises for him to go. But like I say, I think he's got a big month. We've got some really tough fixtures this month. If by the end of it we've come out of it and we're really in touching distance with the playoffs, hopefully we'll then be ready to fly. But I agree, we need to try and keep faith with one manager. We all thought it would be Sean Derry, being a Nottingham lad and having saved us from relegation against the odds the season before. He sort of lost his way a bit, which was a shame, because he's a Notts fan as well. But I think this time, I think the chairman went all out to get Ricardo Moniz, so I think he's going to back him as much as he can.
You mentioned it's going to be a tough month this month. This is a big game. They can go top with a win, and it's live on Sky as well this afternoon. Are you confident that the players can rise to all that?
I am confident. I'm always confident at home. Away from home, I think we'd definitely lose. But at home, I don't know what it is about us here. We just seem to play really, really nice football. Whether it's the pitch and the nice grass, I don't know, that maybe we don't get all the time away from home. Plymouth are obviously a very, very strong side. They've had a really good start to the season, and I think they will be up there regardless come the end of the season. But I think we can beat them today by getting the ball down, playing it, getting it into our strikers, McLeod and Stead, and getting some goals. I think it'll be an entertaining game, and I think we'll edge it.
We're about to be run over by the kit man here. Cheers, Paul.
No worries.
So that was Paul Smith, freelance football writer, big Notts County fan, talking to us. Lovely man, talking to us outside the ground a few minutes ago. We're going to hear from Notts County fans in just a second on what they've made of things so far this season. But I've just seen a name on the team sheet, number 40. This sticks out like a sore thumb. Kevin Pilkington is on the bench.
Yeah, talk about Roy Carroll being experienced. Pilkington, I can't believe he's still
playing.
Yeah,
I'm going to Google him while we listen to some fans, and I'll come back and tell you what he's been up to.
So as the Notts County fans applaud the players off as they just walk off to go into the dressing room and get changed and all that kind of gear before kickoff, we're going to hear from a collection of Notts County fans we spoke to outside the ground. We asked them what they made of their new manager. We've been talking about him already. I say new manager, he's been here about 6 months now. What they made of him so far, Ricardo Moniz. This is what the Notts County fans had to say.
He's an interesting character. I'm yet to make up my mind on him. You know, some of the tactical decisions are not quite there yet. But as I say, it's going to take time. We've had a lot of injuries. We've had a lot of new players in the summer, so it's all about learning what everyone can do and that kind of thing.
I think he's slowly growing to understand League Two football in England. I don't know what the Dutch football's like, but there's certainly different philosophies from the different nations. So this is where you're looking at the experience of Dave Kevin and the backroom guys to actually say, hold on a minute, Ricardo, this won't work in this country because of X, Y, Z.
We started okay. I think we've done better home recently than we have away. I just think, you know, it got to the point where we were near the playoff zone. And I think if we don't turn it around soon, then we're going to be in the danger zone, really.
It's been a bit frustrating so far, all the early season optimism in the summer. All the good signings, that kind of thing, got us all excited. And it's not quite gone yet, but I think we're almost there. I think eventually it'll click into place. And when we get everyone back from injury, we'll start to see what we can do.
The home form's been good.
Yeah, it has. It's always nice to be good at home for the fans, get the fans coming down and obviously get some money for the club. Sort it out away, and like I say, we're almost there. That's all that needs to happen now, isn't it?
As you mentioned there, a lot of new signings in the summer, some pretty impressive names, but from what you've seen so far, who've been the most impressive signings on the pitch?
I think I've got to say Burke, who was here last season, Graham Burke. He's looked every inch a good player for this division and looks like he's got the potential to go on. Adam Campbell's been very exciting for us. I think the only issues we've had have been at the back at the moment. I think once we get that sorted, we'll be all right.
I think this is the first time for a while that Notts as a club has actually been building for the future. So it's not just about the 15 man to play as the squad plus some reserves. I think it's more about the 15 man for the squad plus 10, 15 for the future. Which is refreshing, but we've got to get out of this league.
Is promotion still the aim this season? Do you think it can be achieved?
Well, they say automatic promotion is about 7 to 9 games you could lose and still get in automatic promotion. What we've lost now, 6. So you're probably looking more around the playoffs as a chance to go in up now.
Well, it's important for me because my weekends are ruined. And this year, certainly, you know, like, because we go to a lot of away games, because we've moved near London, like, I'd like to go to some nicer grounds next season. And I'd like a happy husband and to enjoy my roast dinners on Sundays
Don't
a bit more. Yeah, I know.
There you go, one reason to want Notts County to get out of League 2 at the first attempt this season. Those are the views of some Magpies fans we caught up with outside Meadow Lane. This is We Are Going Up, live on the road, part of our special month of themed shows. And I've been doing some research on Kevin Pilkington, DC. You know, you're asking about him. 41 years old. He's been at Notts County since 2012, apparently. Only played 3 games, though, in the last 3 years. Previously at Mansfield, Luton, Notts County, Wigan, Aberystwyth, Port Vale, Celtic, Rotherham, Rochdale and Manchester United, where he played for 6 years and made 6 appearances. That seems to be the rule, basically 1 appearance a year. So if we're lucky, we'll get him today. We're going to talk about the visitors in just a minute, who are Plymouth Argyle, and quite an impressive away following they've brought.
Absolutely, particularly if most of them have come all the way from Plymouth on a what have been a very early Sunday morning drive up to Nottingham. But your team is second in the league, could go top today, you're playing really well, and you know it's early season, the sun is shining, it's a great day to get out and follow your team, and you know it must be a good time to be a Plymouth fan.
More on Plymouth Argyle then in just a second, hang on there.
We are going up on the road, we've got the Football League covered.
We've been doing this podcast for about 4 and a bit years, and a lot has happened at Plymouth Argyle during that time. Yeah. They've been through the mill a bit, but it seems things might be finally looking up for them with their new man in charge, Derek Adams. They're second in League 2. They can actually go top of the table with a win today.
Yeah. I think John Sheridan did a decent job when he was there. Obviously got them to the playoffs last season, and they lost out to Wickham in the end, and he left the club in the summer. And I think you can when managers leave after a bit of success, you can often worry, think maybe is that we're going to regress a bit, we're going to regress back to the mean. But they've done really well. They've improved. They got even better. Derek Adams, an unknown name to a lot of English football fans, to a lot of Plymouth fans, but he's done very well at Ross County, up north of the border, and he's made a great start to life in English football. I've been reading about some of the signings he's made from his old club, Ross County. Graham Carey and Jake Jervis in particular. Jervis is a name that will be familiar to Football League fans. He's been around the block a little bit, but from what I see, they've been very impressive so far and a big part of Plymouth's great start to the season.
And Jake Jervis used to play for your boys, pretty much every other team in the Football League, I think. He's played at Notts County as well, in amongst his various stints on loan. When he was with us, he was very good. He does score goals, but he just moves around all over the place. I think he's played in Turkey as well, his various stints out of somewhere. So, you know, one of those constant frustrations in lower league football, somebody who just can't settle down somewhere, unfortunately.
Just looking at Plymouth's form going into this, good win against rivals Exeter in midweek in the Football League Trophy, beat Crawley last weekend, wins over Barnet, also won away at Wickham a few weeks ago. They're in good form, and we've caught up with a man who knows more than anyone else, I would say, about Plymouth Argyle. We've had him on the show before, Mr. Chris Errington, from the Plymouth Herald, football editor at the Plymouth Herald. And we started by asking Chris what he's made of Plymouth's start to the season.
It's been an excellent start for them. You know, there was a lot of change over the summer at Home Park. Derek Adams replaced John Sheridan as the manager, and he made 8 new signings. And sometimes I think when you make that many signings, it takes a little while for those players to fit into the squad. And that hasn't really been a problem, to be honest. Even in pre-season, they settled in pretty well, the new signings. And a sort of the nucleus of the squad from last season that got in the playoffs and the new signings have gelled. And, you know, Argyle have made a great start to the season.
And what's the football been like? I've read a few of your pieces, and it seems to have... seems to be pretty good from what I can see and what I've seen on the highlights.
Yeah, they've played some decent stuff. The manager likes to keep it on the deck, you know, which you don't always get in League Two. Graham Carey's been a really key player for me. He's been playing in the centre midfield in the sort of number 10 role, if you want to call it, behind generally Ruben Reid when he's been fit. He pulls the strings, he takes all the set pieces, good pass, a good left foot. Unfortunately, in this game this afternoon, it's come a bit too soon after a knee injury for him today, so he's on the subs bench, and that's a blow for them, although they have got players that, you know, hopefully can come in and do a decent job for them.
It was obviously a near miss last season, losing out in the playoff semi-finals. Promotion got to be, automatic promotion got to be the aim given the start?
Yeah, I think, you know, when Derek Adams came in, he said, you know, we've got to try and improve on last season. They finished 7th last season, so, you know, he was looking to improve on that. 11 games in, you're thinking automatic promotion would be nice. It's still early days, isn't it? And as you guys know, League 2 is so unpredictable. On any given day, anybody can beat anybody. You can have a good run and suddenly be on 3 or 4 wins, and then all of a sudden, a month later, you can be on 3 or 4 defeats. Now, I'm hoping that won't apply to Argyle, but it can happen. And so, yeah, you know, you'd like to think that it'll be challenging, you know, pretty close to the top of the table this season.
Notts County have got a pretty good home record, but overall they've not done that well. Very inconsistent so far this season. What do you expect to see today? Do you think Argyle can do it?
Well, Notts County, I see, have won their last 4 home games, one in the Johnston Paint and the last 3 in the league. So they're good at home, and obviously they've been struggling away from home. I think it's 8 goals in the last 2 away games they've conceded. So it's pretty clear to see that if they could get their away form half decent, they would probably be up near the top of the table as well. And they might be one of those teams we were just talking about that suddenly could just click. They've had, you know, I talked about Argyle having 8 signings. Didn't they have about 20 or something like that in the summer? And, you know, I don't see how you can make that many changes and it just fall into place straight away. They've all got to get to understand what their manager wants. You know, looking at sort of Isle McLeods and Alan Smiths and people like that, you would expect that as the season goes on, County will probably get stronger. So, you know, I wouldn't be at all surprised if they're playoffs or higher, you know, come the end of the season.
And a great chance, obviously, for Plymouth to show off how good they've been, because this game's live on TV today.
Yeah, I mean, they had mixed fortunes on the TV last season. They were 4 times, twice in the playoffs, and obviously they lost both of those games against Wickham. But they were in the league. They won at Luton and won at home to Portsmouth. So, you know, they had mixed fortunes on the TV. Yeah, I mean, they've played well this season, and, you know, I'm hoping they do themselves justice in front of a TV audience. Yes, they've done well. In Plymouth, I think, you know, people in Plymouth and the South West are saying, yeah, this is looking promising. It'd be nice to show show the rest of the country that there is progress being made at Home Park.
It's not too long ago that I can remember having people on the pod, and such as yourself and other Plymouth fans, when we were talking about Peter Reid having to pay the electric bills, yes. You know, and there are some really, really desperate times for Plymouth in the not-too-distant past. But it seems like they're in a good place now.
Yeah, it's taken them a long haul. I mean, and John Sheridan, who was the manager here before, he came in January 2013 and they were virtually rock bottom of the Football League. And to be honest, when he took over, I was really worried, and I wasn't the only one, that Argyle were going to drop out of the Football League. And we've seen it down in Devon when Torquay dropped out of the Football League and the difficulties they're having now, unfortunately. And, you know, we're all hoping that they can turn it around. And Argyle were close. They only stayed up on the last day of that first season under John Sheridan, basically because Barnet lost. And that was a really close call, and it's taken them time. They finished 10th the following season, 7th last season, so there has been gradual progress. And it's not the biggest squad that Derek Adams has got, but I think he's gone quality not quantity route in terms of how he's used his playing budget. And you know, we're hoping that if they can stay reasonably fit and avoid suspensions, that they're going to be up there for the course of the season. But it's been a long way back for Argyle. They sank really low, and like you say, only just now you feel as though they're beginning to come out of the financial troubles they had.
And on Derek Adams himself, obviously we know about the team and how well they're doing this season, but what's he been like to deal with in terms of his character? Because, you know, not many English football fans would probably know too much about him.
No, I mean, when I heard that he was in contention for the job, I had to go onto online and do a bit of research about him, because, you know, he'd been up at Ross County for 6 years, and I think Ross County are the most northerly professional club in Great Britain, and obviously Plymouth Argyle are the most southerly, so he couldn't have gone any further in this country. And I didn't know a lot about him. When you talk to people up in Scotland, you know, he took Ross County from the second division in Scotland into the Premiership, and they finished their 5th one season in the Premiership. Now, I've been to Dingwall, which is where Ross County is based, and it is a tiny place. I mean, Plymouth must be, I don't know, 25 times, I don't know how many times, bigger than Dingwall. So he's come to Plymouth Argyle, and he's really relished the occasion. And we've all seen Scottish managers, you know, come down from north of the border and have a really good impact. The thing I like about him is his attention to detail. He really does not miss a trick. I mean, I was watching him again this afternoon. Every time he comes to away grounds, he walks out. First thing he does, he walks the width of the pitch, paces it out himself, finds out what the width is. When we played at Wickham the other week, you know, He noticed the length of the grass was longer than he would normally expect at a game. It all seems small things, but it's a bit like you know, Dave Brailsford, the cycling guy, and he always says, you know, just the little, you can't make a massive jump in performance, but if you do lots of little things just that little bit better, you make a big difference. And it's the attention to detail that's impressed me. And he's come down, he's made some good signings. You know, nearly all of the signings he's brought in have made a good impact. And I think any manager gets judged on two things: results and his signings. And the results have been good, the signings have been good, so, you know, early days, but very, very encouraging.
That was Chris Errington from the Plymouth Herald football editor talking to us a few minutes
ago. Sorry
to
interrupt you, Mark, but we're witnessing a wonderful scene at the moment where the two mascots of Notts County appear to be what appears to be a male and female magpie, currently being rained on by the sprinklers. But they're very much enjoying it,
not shying away.
That is ridiculous. Plymouth Argyle, anyway, as Chris said, flying, been through a lot since Peter Reid had to pay for the lights and all that kind of thing, whatever else he did pay for the players. Do you think this is the year they can push on and get promoted?
Well, that's got to be the aim. When you make that a good start to the season, as they have, playing really well, confidence is flying, you've got to try and keep it going. The league's going to be tight, League Two's always tight. You have teams that go on late runs, and, you know, like York did a few years ago, that amazing run from near the bottom of the league to nearly getting the playoffs, and is a long way to go. But they made a good start to the season, and I'm sure they'll be confident of being able to continue it and make a real, real challenge for automatic promotion.
Well, we've already mentioned the Plymouth fans. You might have heard from them in the background there. We caught up with a few outside the ground. Early start for lots of them today to get up here to Nottingham. We asked them about their start to the season, because it's looking good so far. Played 11, second in the table, 23 points.
Yeah, new manager, new team, rebuilt from last year. John Sheridan gone. Pleased with the start they made.
Considering Derek Adams was fairly unknown to us, when I found out about his appointment, I did a little bit of research on him, and then it's like, okay, a few good signings, and it's been all good so far. Especially past two games have been awesome.
Absolutely cracking. Yeah, he's really sorted the team out. So he's got from a strong start last season with some good players. He's really brought in some cracking new players, additions to the squad, and they're just taking on to the next level. So hopefully have a good season ahead.
What I've seen a few highlights and stuff here and there, been reading a bit about the team before the game today. It looks like they've been playing good football as well.
Yeah, they have. They midweek game against Exeter, absolutely fantastic game. Demolished Exeter. It's great for the Argyle fans, but they're knocking it around really nicely and actually look real positive going forward, which is always good to see. So
some of the players he signed have come from Ross County, his old club, so obviously he's used to the players, and they, from what I've seen, they've made quite a good start to life at Plymouth. Graham Carey in particular seems to be a player that's caught the eye. Jake Jervis as well.
Graham Carey, absolute star. I've met him a couple of times already this season. He's been complete professional.
Graham Carey is the probably standout one for me. Boateng is also showing his ability now that he's matured into the team and he's settled into the style of play.
And last season, obviously, he got to the playoff semi-final. I'm not sorry to remind you, this season has promotion got to be achieved.
It'd be great if it is, yeah. Obviously, the playoffs are a nice bit of a lottery, but, we could do without that. If we can go up automatic, so much the better.
We're hoping for automatic promotion, but to be honest, any sort of promotion will do for this year. And especially with the new manager in, it'd be a result to get in the playoffs.
And what about today's game? Notts County have had an indifferent start. Is this one you're looking to pick 3 points up in to go back top?
It should be 2-0 to us, obviously.
Have you ever got up at silly o'clock to watch Watford anywhere? What's the longest long away day you can remember?
The longest one I've done is Sunderland, and I went on the club coach, so we of course left about 4 hours earlier than we really needed to. It took ages to get up there, but yeah, it's
amazing dedication, isn't it? From you think about their location, it makes it difficult to get to any game, really.
Absolutely. But as I said before, when your team's flying high, it makes those long journeys all the more bearable.
Certainly does. Right, the two Magpies have dodged the sprinklers, I think. The players are getting ready to come out. You can hear the Plymouth fans in the background. Don't forget, later on in the show, we're going to have an interview with the director of a new film, I Believe in Miracles.
Indeed, Johnny Owen. It looks really good. I watched the trailer this morning, and hopefully we'll be watching the film a bit later on today. This evening, as we record this on Sunday, the premiere is at the City Ground.
Just
3,500
fans will be watching it in the ground, and it looks really, really good.
Amazing. So we'll speak, hopefully, to him a little bit later on in the show. And if we're lucky, the two managers after full-time as well. But coming next, it's our take on what's about to happen in Sky Bet League 2. This is our first live show, game of the season. Yeah. I think on We Are Going, it certainly is. First live game of the season for us on We Are Going Up. Plymouth Argyle, away at Notts County. All the action next.
We Are Going Up live. We've got the Football League covered.
We're ready for the off. Players are all lined up, ball's in the centre circle. The game's underway, and straight away you've got something to say about Ricardo Moniz's jacket.
I have. It looks tremendous. It's like similar to sort of the Arsene Wenger style long puffer jacket, but it appears to have some sort of, I don't know whether that's a scarf or that's the lining of the jacket. Potentially a wool lining.
So that's the first item to discuss, the jacket. Second item is the Plymouth away kit.
It's awful. Kind of lilac monstrosity, essentially. It really isn't.
I'm not sure the combination of a purple lilac away kit and bright fluorescent green boots works either.
No, it's like kind of it's they got changed into dark, essentially.
Third thing I want to mention right from the off is the last time you were here on with regards to that field was for a very altogether different reason than watching a Sky Bet League 2 game. Long-term listeners may not know about this secret from your past. Tell us more.
Indeed. Last time I was in this ground, I was on the pitch, in fact.
Playing football?
Not playing football. There was a rugby match going on, but I was not one of the participants in said rugby match. I was a cheerleader.
just say that again for us.
I was a cheerleader. I was a member of the Trent Tigers, the Nottingham Trent cheerleading team. And of course they needed, there were no pom-poms involved, there were no skirts, no ribbons in my hair. I was the hired muscle to help lift the girls and throw them up even higher.
Yes, of course you were. So does photographic evidence of this exist?
Yeah, there's a video of it somewhere online, I'd imagine.
Were there ulterior motives to you joining the cheerleading team?
Absolutely not.
Right, fine. Okay, so search that out on Google, everyone, if you can. David Cameron Walker, cheerleader. So I turned up yesterday in Nottingham about sort of
4:30, 4:45-ish, I arrived. You were in a pub watching Soccer Saturday, and you were screaming Leighton Orient a lot.
Leighton Orient!
What was all that about?
As Watford weren't playing yesterday, I had to adopt a team to be my team for the afternoon, and Leighton Orient being the closest to my current place of abode, I had to pick Leighton Orient, and they had a man sent off, which meant I had to down my pint, which I wasn't too pleased about.
Didn't, though, in your defence, Dave, I didn't mean Mark had to down his pints when Barry had a man sent off.
Yeah.
So you didn't do that, Mark?
I didn't. I walked in the door, we were 2-0 up, and within 10 minutes we had a man sent off and we conceded two goals. So me and Carl Say watching the action, 0-0, played around about 10 minutes. But you're more bothered about what's going on at Ribblesdale Rovers.
Indeed, pitch 8 at Clapham Common against Merton Forest. It was a 1:30 kickoff, so the game will still be going on as we speak.
So to explain, this is your Sunday team?
It's my Sunday team that I would otherwise be playing for if I wasn't here.
Right, okay, what, do you have to give an official reason why you couldn't be there today?
I know, I was quite honest with them.
Right, okay.
Fine, yeah.
Fine.
We've made a good start to the season. We're unbeaten in 5. Top
yeah?
of the league.
Yeah. How many teams in the league?
I don't know.
Oh, great ball crosses, face of the 6-yard box. Goalkeeper Scott Loach comes and claims. Oh, it's a bit of a barge. Oh. Oh, hello. It's all kicking off. It's Reuben Reed, I think.
Scott Loach. How the mighty have fallen.
Say it.
Say what?
How to spell at Watford.
He did have a spell at Watford, yeah. It's an interesting player, Scott Loach, because he was really highly rated when he came through with us. And he was in England, the England under 21 squads, played in the 2009 European under 21 final. Opposite Manuel Neuer in the other goal, whose careers have gone in decidedly different directions since. But he's just looked like he had a bit of a bad spell at Watford, and he looked like he just never regained his confidence in the succession of moves. Oh, chance, a good shot for Notts County there.
So there's a long-haired midfielder with orange boots who's kind of strolling through the game, and I was like, oh, this guy's good, who's he?
It's Alan Smith.
Never did I think I'd see the day where Alan Smith had the number 4 on his back. He's gone from being a striker to a defensive midfielder, essentially.
He has. Well, that's been the case for many years now. And yeah. I was reading an interview.
That started at Old Trafford, that, really.
Yeah, I was reading an interview with him before the start of the season. And it was quite interesting, actually, because he was talking about that move from being a striker in his youth to being a deep-lying sort of central midfielder that he is now. And a lot of it came about because of that terrible injury that he got at Manchester United, if you remember. Was it against Liverpool?
At Anfield, yeah.
Yeah, really awful.
Gone the other way. Handball claim there, McLeod. Thought he should have had a free kick, it's gone against him.
And terrible ankle injury, wasn't it? And he was out for a long time, and he was never the same sort of dynamic, quick player that he was after that. And credit to him, he changed his game and went on to have a different career than the one you may have expected him to have when he came through in that Leeds team, the David O'Leary Leeds team that got all the way to the Champions League semi-final. But I think credit to him, really, because a player like him, he would have made really good money at Manchester United, Leeds, Newcastle. He probably could have retired. He doesn't need to be playing in League 2 level at his age, but he's stuck it out. He's still playing. He was at MK Dons for a bit, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And now at Notts County, I think he's taking his coaching badges and doing a bit of coaching as well. And, credit to him.
It's got a bit cold here, actually, hasn't it? Considering it was an absolutely beautiful outside. As soon as we got in the press box, Carl McQueen says, oh, that's nice. And then 10 minutes later, he's changed his tune.
The world's hottest room was the press room downstairs.
No water in there.
No water.
But it did have tea, though. You have as much tea as you want, but no water. Ridiculous. Listen to me, what a diva I turned into.
Actually, wonderfully named players in the Notts County squad. Gil Swerts. Stanley Abora. You don't find many Stanleys these days, do you?
You don't. Is there another player in England registered at a professional club called Stanley? I'd love to know that. Let us know if you do. At Wagyu Podcast on Twitter, or you can get in touch via wearegoingup.co.uk. Great turn from Alan Smith there. Rolling back the years. I should actually, as the ball comes to the right hand side, Elliot Hewitt taking on his man inside. Oh, that's a great effort. I think that was Gil Swerts himself with the green boots. In-swinging left-footed shot from sort of the corner of the penalty area. Threatened to go below the crossbar, but just ended up on top of it. And we should say, actually, some people came up with some suggestions last week because we did the big special on cult heroes.
Yeah.
Roy Essendo.
Oh, of course.
From CFAX. This is just suggested by Matt.
Striker himself.
who scored the winner for Wickham at Leicester in the FA Cup, I believe.
While Laurie Sanchez was confined to the dressing room, wasn't he?
Right. Yeah, that's right. Also, Glenn Little and Dave Kitson at Reading. Says, Rob, you were thinking about Glenn Little, weren't you?
Yeah.
In terms of when we were doing the show last week. And Freddie Adu, just so everyone knows, we did ask about his whereabouts last week. Freddie Adu's now playing in the second tier in the US, playing for the Tampa Bay Rowdies. So thank you to Andy, who got in touch to let us know about that.
1-0. There's been a goal. Plymouth Argyle have scored. It's Reuben Reed with the goal. Goal out of nothing, really. Just a long ball up to him. A great first touch. He's rolled the defender. And really good finish from just outside the box. Low, hard, past the goalkeeper.
That'll teach me for having the recording device just placed on the desk in front of us because nothing was happening. All of a sudden, in a flash, the visitors have taken the lead. Took that really well.
Yeah, excellent finish. As Dave said, the first touch, the touch to just roll off the defender really was excellent. And credit to him with the finish. Right in the corner there, and Scotland didn't really stand much chance.
It was kind of crisp, wasn't it? Sort of hit it really nicely, sweet, to Loach's bottom right, went straight in the bottom corner.
And I'd say Notts County have just about been the better side so far. They certainly had more possession without really creating too many chances. So it's against the run of play in a way, but we'll see if they can come back now.
Trying to look for an immediate response. Offside decision. Do you reckon they do that on the Sky? The commentators just put their microphones down on the table and nothing's happening. Suddenly there's a goal. Well, the good news is we're not going to have another goalless draw. Our record continues whenever we've done a live special. No nil-nils. It's Notts County 0, Plymouth Argyle 1. Plymouth at it again. Oh, the good spell trouble chance of a second. And it's blazed over the top by Greg Wilde on his right foot. The home fans behind that goal to our left, not impressed with their side's defending. It was Reed involved in that once again. He's a prolific goal scorer, Reuben Reed, at this level. You can hear the fans.
They've lit a flare. A green flare has been lit.
The Plymouth fans green singing, smoke. We're top of the league. Oh, nice little move. This. Oh, off the post. Could be. Oh. Lovely little intricate passing move inside the penalty area. Ball fizzed across the six-yard box. Not quite sure who had the last touch, but it hit the inside of the post and came back out. The game's exploded into life all of a sudden. The home fans getting behind Notts County now, trying to build a bit of pressure. Campbell into Swerts. That's a nice little move as well. That's Elliot Hewitt who's gone down. They want the decision. They're not getting anything. It's gone out for a goal kick.
And the fans are furious. A young man to my left is shouting for a penalty, even though the foul was at least 10 yards outside the penalty area.
You've just been looking at your phone and you spotted a message that you missed last night from the man to my left.
Yeah, just relive, going through documentation of last night, making sure nothing got too out of hand. A text from DCW at 4 minutes past one, just saying, lads, casino.
Defend yourself.
Why wasn't I with you?
I don't know.
An absolutely superb fan sitting just to my left. I don't want to speak too loud because if he sees me or hears me, he looks like he could absolutely tear me to pieces. But he's absolutely screaming abuse at the team. Whenever they get the ball, just a lot of one word repetitive shout: byline, byline, feet, feet, tight, tight.
Feet, feet.
Oh, that's a good cross. Oh! Right footed cross from Adam Campbell. And the header completely missed it, didn't he? Notts County have had plenty of efforts on goal, just not find the back of the net yet.
A lot of possession as well, particularly in the final third, particularly down their right hand side, as you said. The final ball hasn't been good enough, and then the occasions where it has been a decent ball, players attacking the ball just haven't delivered the goods, as we saw just with that header a minute ago, completely missed from 6 yards out. Should have been a goal, but I think they should be encouraged, really. They're 1-0 down, but they don't deserve to be.
There you go, there goes the half time whistle. Got to agree with that. They don't deserve to be. Entertaining enough first half.
Yeah, the game's got better as it's gone on, but I think that goal sort of sparked Notts County into life. They've had more of the possession, they've had some reasonable chances. They just need more quality in the final third.
Would you go along with that?
Absolutely. I think Notts County have actually looked quite comfortable. As you say, there's chances to hit the post. Alan Smith's deflected shot, I mean, it's still in it. They're 1-0 down, but you know, Plymouth had one good chance and scored from it, which is the difference between the two.
And we'll be back with the second half shortly. I can see two temporary nets being wheeled out onto the pitch. So I don't think we're going to have a repeat of Peterborough Bradford with this skip, but you've got to lob the ball in it. Looks like we've got some kids coming out to have a game. So we'll watch this at half time. I think you want to get a pie, don't you?
Yeah,
pie, yes. Okay. And we'll be back with you for the second half next.
We are going up on the road.
Okay, we're back underway. Second half, Notts County 0, Plymouth 1. How was your pie?
Very good.
What did you have?
I think it was steak and kidney. Steak and kidney, yeah.
Yeah,
it was really. It was just kind of like brown mess.
Any food will do at this point. And also in our sort of new clarification section of the podcast, some news to start the second half that all Jill Swerts fans will be disappointed by.
Yeah, well, we were the player that we thought was Jill Swerts, and is it Jill or Gill in the first half? Basically, we got it wrong. It's actually Graham Burke who's been involved heavily and had a lot of the chances. And I know this because I just got into the press room, and while I was eating my pie, they had the game on the Sky coverage on, and they did a whole bit on him and how good he was in the first half.
Excellent. I was going to say, they don't make this mistake on the telly. Who's doing the punditry?
It's Sean Derry and Ian Holloway.
Oh, whereabouts are they? Are they in the ground?
They're in the studio.
Ah, they're in the studio. I see. Right, Notts County have got a corner. Come on, you pies, they sing.
Like an angled ball out to the wing, don't they, Notts County? A borer. He's been quite impressive, I think. He's been distributing the ball very well, and he's been finding Adam Campbell in particular a lot. Just hitting that ball over the fullback's head into space. Just not been able to do anything once they've got there, though.
Oh, for a second I thought we were going to have the classic thing of the ball going actually out of the ground there. What did he just say?
He's just shouting at Stanley Abora, kick it, kick it.
Always a good idea in a game of football. Oh, he's got gas.
Jervis.
Plymouth, break him. Jake Jervis on the left. Well,
shepherded out by Swerts. Will the real Gil Swerts please stand up?
I really want to name this podcast that. That's not a bad ball from Alan Smith. Campbell trying to get it to the byline. Lifts it across the face of goal. This could be the equaliser. It's back in. Up goes the header. The fans want a penalty. Ball's pinballing around the penalty area. It was McLeod who was in there. Couldn't quite get on the end of it. And now Plymouth can break. Reed in the centre circle. Oh, he's got a man three to his left. He couldn't find him. He might find him now. Why has he not played that ball? That is unbelievably selfish. And this game's starting to come to life again now. That's a good ball. Noble, McLeod, edge of the area, offside I believe, yeah. Good harrying, good pressure from Alan Smith again, leading the charge. Now there's a break on. Noble, he's got a runner. Campbell to his right. It's a good ball. Campbell's onto it. Into the area, shoots. Too weak. Straight at the goalkeeper. Frustration growing amongst us, around us.
Yeah, they're going to break down the stands if they keep doing that.
Was that our friend?
Yeah, he's furious.
That's a good turn from Noble. Now that's a good ball. Isaac McLeod onto it, edge of the area. Numbers getting back for Plymouth now. And is that a foul? Certainly had his hand on him. Referee's given it. No, he's not. He's given a yellow for diving. McLeod has got the teapot on now. Hands on hips. Having a chat with Jeremy Simpson, the referee. Not been his day today, has it, McLeod?
No, I think that's a good decision. He was looking for that. The ball got away from him, and you could see he was trying to go down. Another good decision by the referee.
Keep him there, keep him there, keep him there! That's good, that's good!
20 minutes to go. Sarcastically applauding long balls that go far too long. Optimism starting to wane a little bit. You can just sense that it's the kind of match where Plymouth will score a second late on, it seems, at the moment.
We've got a double substitution coming up for Notts County. I think someone from the Kardashians is coming on.
It's Julian Jenner.
Julian Jenner, and also the third of the De Silva brothers, Kyle De Silva. Not really known to be related to Raphael and Fabio. Anyway, here come the visitors. Chance of a second goal. The ball delivered in from the left. Low across the six-yard box. It's taken a deflection, and it's gone out for a corner. And you do get the sense that one of these breaks is going to count eventually for Plymouth.
Our friend has just half-heartedly tried to start the chant of "You're getting sacked in the morning," I believe directed at the Notts County manager. Another example of the mixed views that some of the fans have about the Dutchman.
Noble to take the corner then. Right foot, that's a good corner, and the referee has given a push. John Stead, not happy. This game is limping over the line.
Petering out.
That's the phrase.
It's like your sentence.
Oh, no flag. Chance for the visitors to seal it. It's Reuben Reid again. It's a good save by Scott Loach. The ball's not dead. Jervis tries to keep it in place. It's back for Reuben Reid. It's 2-0 to Plymouth. Fantastic finish. He's been the difference today. And he comes over towards his manager, Derek Adams. Well, the referee's assistant is getting a bit of a mouthful from Meniz. And Plymouth Argyle, DC are going top of League Two.
Absolutely. I think Meniz is angry because he thinks it was offside. Reid did look possibly offside. We need to see the replay, obviously. But
what was that?
A flare?
I'm not sure.
I think it was a flare in the Plymouth end. But it was a good... offside or not, he controlled the ball well, ran onto it well. Good shot. It was a good save by Loach. Jervis kept the ball alive. Good pullback and a simple finish for Reid.
It was like a triple circle cross on FIFA. Low back across the face of goal. You could see that coming, couldn't you?
Well, yeah. I did predict it. It was one of those ugly... Notts County this half have not looked as good, quite simply, must admit, as he did in the first half. And Plymouth... Something there was a counter essentially. And expected.
You know the worst thing about that was our mate's gone. He's gone home.
Was that him banging the door on the way out?
Home! Home! He's gone. So we've had the ginger Mourinho before. Now we've got the Scottish Mourinho apparently. I'm not sure you want to be Mourinho really at the minute.
Certainly not, no.
There we go. Jeremy Simpson blows the final whistle and Plymouth Argyle are top of League Two. They've beaten Notts County by 2-0. 2 goals from Reuben Reid, one in each half. Deserved winners, DC?
Yeah, in the end. I think as the game went on in the second half, they looked a lot more comfortable. Two bits of real quality. Reuben Reid showing his quality on the day. The two chances he had, he put away with ease. Notts County, first half, played pretty well. Started off the second half pretty well as well. Lots of possession. Lots of good situations with Adam Campbell getting in, but just couldn't provide that quality in the final third. McLeod had a bit of a nightmare. Got booked for diving. Nothing was sticking to him. And in the end, a good performance without being spectacular from Plymouth. A good performance and, yeah, deserve a win.
Notts County actually got worse the more the game went on, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. Clearly, they got a bit disheartened on the pitch. First off, they were very, very good. The better team, despite being 1-0 down. But this second half performance by them, worryingly lacklustre. Plymouth had one good opportunity at the end and took it. And that's why they now sit top of League Two.
We're talking about your cable being very long before. Not as long as this cable, which is on from the touchline to the centre circle, the Sky Do a live interview.
There were boos from the Notts County fans at the end of the game. Not very happy, the natives.
No, a few have stayed to have brought the team off, but not many. Right, we're going to nip downstairs. And if we can grab a word with the managers, we will. But as the Plymouth fans applaud their own fans who are swinging their tops above their heads in the sunshine, we'll leave it there for now. Full time, Notts County 0,
Plymouth Argyle 2.
We are going up on the road.
So we've moved outside of Meadow Lane. We're back near our hotel where we stayed last night. Remember getting back here?
No.
But a minute or two ago, we were on the pitch at Meadow Lane hearing from both managers. In a second, we'll hear from Ricardo Moniz. But first, the Plymouth boss, Derek Adams, his side have gone back top of League 2. And he said that they had to withstand a lot of pressure.
Yeah, I mean, you think when you come away from home, you've got to, you know, soak up the pressure. I was looking at it before the game and, you know, we've got a very good, you know, away record. We haven't conceded many goals away from home. And it was important today that you have to defend well. And I thought we did that.
Because a lot of players in that Notts County team have got a wealth of experience.
They have, and, you know, they threw bodies forward and, you know, they had a lot of attackers on the park and, you know, they tried to create chances. But, you know, we limited them, you know. Luke hasn't really had many saves in the game. There was opportunities, can't take that away from him, but we knew that when we could counter-attack, we'll score goals.
Ruben Reid's first goal. We've not been short of quality this season when it's come to scoring goals, but that turn, how do you control a ball on the thigh and turn it all in with one touch?
Well, you have to ask Ruben that, but you know, he's played really well today. I said that to him at half-time. You know, it was the one that was a shining light for us today, and you know, I thought that he took his goals really well. He's unfortunate he never got a hat-trick today.
So that was Derek Adams after his side went top of League 2 with that 2-0 win over Notts County. Now the Notts County manager, and we got a good close look at the coat, didn't we?
Yeah, it was even better than expected.
It was
really nice. Yeah,
it was built in the coat. It wasn't a scarf as you were thinking. Ricardo Moniz, he said today quite simply the difference was one man, Ruben Reid.
Inconsistency, one moment you bring him in the game. We were better the first half, can't find the last touch, no confident enough, I think. Also with Campbell, Hewitt. Yeah, and then you get impatient the second half. We played better, I think, again. Mm. Not as good as against York, but we played better. I think McLeod, the first chance he had, he must go in a straight line to the goal. Yeah. He wanted to pass the ball to Noble, I believe. But that are wrong choices. And in the final third against the number one, yeah, you must be more creative, more how you say it, have more flair. Because only the equalizer could bring us back. Mm. Now, we hit the post, I believe it was,
yes.
Burke.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that luck you didn't have. And then you know that we get impatient and we give more spaces away. Stanley played in the middle because then we had man more on the midfield. And I saw it offside, but it was not offside. And then you know that moment always will come for Reid, and individual class make the difference because he made the difference.
That was Ricardo Moniz, the Notts County manager, talking after the 2-0 defeat at home to Plymouth. And as we enter the final straight of this podcast, we're now going to look a little bit more generally at football in Nottingham, specifically now Nottingham Forest, because on the day we record this, you're actually going to record this interview tomorrow, but by magic it should appear you're going to be chatting to the director of I Believe in Miracles.
Yes, Johnny Owens. The film, as we talked about earlier, is about the Nottingham Forest side of Brian Clough, Peter Taylor, that rose from obscurity, really sort of mid-table obscurity in the second tier, to champions of Europe, not once but twice.
Amazing. So you're going to do that interview tomorrow, but by the magic of podcasting, here it is.
This is We Are Going Up. We've got the Football League covered.
So, Johnny, thanks very much for talking to us. For anyone who is listening to this and hasn't heard about I Believe in Miracles, briefly explain what it's all about.
It's a film charting the 5 years between 1975 and 1980, when Brian Clough went to Nottingham Forest and the extraordinary rise that he caused to happen there when they went from the middle of the second division to become double back-to-back European Cup winning champions.
And you had the premiere of the film at the City Ground in front of thousands of fans, with all the players there as well, last night on Sunday. How was the evening?
It was unbelievable. I think I woke up this morning to be told that we're number 11 in the UK box office. So many people turned up. So it was an amazing night. It was very emotional to see, you know, an iconic stand at the Trent End, full like it was, full of fans, thousands of people there, to see the team introduced one by one. They were all there, the Miracle Men, as they've been called now, and except Martin O'Neill, who was on international duty but sent a message over. But it was really emotional. And then we watched the film, and to be sat, like saying, amongst Forest fanatics was amazing, really, because it is a great story. It's a great football story, it's a great sports story, but it's their story as well. So it was lovely to be sat there amongst them.
And I think that's one of the great things about the film, is that, you know, you see sports documentaries, quite a lot, and there's always a variety of different people talking about them, but not always the people talking on the documentaries are the ones who are involved in the stories. But all of the talking heads in this film are the players themselves, and they really do have some amazing anecdotes.
Yeah, they're brilliant. I mean, in the world of mockumentaries or documentaries or sockumentaries, there are so many sort of categories, but in that world, there's a, what they call an assemble edit. It's a bit arty sounding, but basically the idea is if you can put a documentary together without a voiceover, without somebody narrated, as they call it, then you are being really clever. I mean, Senna did it, was the first to do it brilliantly. And that's what I try to do. I try to tell the story just with their talking heads, and only the 16 players that played in the 78-79 campaign. And I thought, you know what, they're the people that knew Clough the best. I mean, there's so many books, there's a whole industry around Brian Clough, as we all know, and it grows every sort of passing year, even though he's been past himself for over a decade. But I just thought, you know what, these lads at that time, between 1975 and 1980, that knew him the best, they spent so much time with him. I mean, it was a great line from his family. They said that they knew him better than us, because he was in Forest so much and in the ground so much with them, that you know, they spent the most time with him. So I thought, you know what, they'd be full of stories, and they would really find out how he worked, you know, what made him tick.
We're all familiar with the story of Brian Clough. As you say, there's been films, there's been books, there's been documentaries, radio programmes, a lot. But was there anything during the course of making this film that perhaps you had heard from the players that you hadn't heard before, or something you weren't expecting?
Yeah, I mean, he was... I always remember Melvin Bragg wrote a book about Richard Burton, and he very famously said that he found a much grander man than even he expected, and he was a fan of Burton. And I think the same thing happened with me and Clough. And one of the things that really surprised me, I'm from South Wales, you know, and I remember the strike very well, you know, it was kind of a bitter time, and Nottinghamshire certainly has got this reputation, you know, that they didn't come out and strike and whatnot, and it still carries to this day. And one day I was going through some stuff, and I found the miner's lamp, and and it was presented to Brian Clough. What Brian Clough had done was, he'd strike in miners, he'd allow them into the games for nothing and feed them, he'd give them food, and nobody knew about this. And he wouldn't say anything to the press about it. And again, I found a much grander man than I possibly knew, because A, he was doing that, which was incredible, but B, he didn't want anybody to know about it. He didn't want any fuss or publicity about it. And you just think, well, that's the measure of the man right there, really.
I think this is particularly true for people sort of my age and younger who weren't around at the height of Brian Clough's success, the story that you tell in the film. He's almost, to me anyway, a bit of a mythical sort of character. We're all familiar with him. We've all seen the clips. We've all heard the stories about his eccentricities and the amazing team talks and training methods. But it's almost as if he's not real. But watching this film, you're reminded that this actually happened. It was an amazing rise.
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing is as well is that it took me. You're exactly right. He was so synonymous with Nottingham Forest that when he went, he went in 1992, really, when the Premiership was starting to take off. And it took me a long time, like lots of football fans, to even get used to that, you know. I mean, the fact that Clough wasn't managing Forest, it's a bit like United with Ferguson now. It's almost a bit odd, really, you know. You see Van Gaal comes on, and, you know, poor David Moyes went almost straight away because of it. A club like that becomes so synonymous with the manager, they almost become intertwined, if you know what I mean. Mm. And the club became him. That's what all great management does, they say, in all industry, whether the business, the club or the company or the factory or whatever it is, becomes a reflection of the person. And Nottingham Forest were like a reflection of Brian Clough. So right to the 80s, when I was, you know, a kid growing up, I can always remember Brian Clough as being the manager of not just a successful team that won European Cups, but they were the only team that could compete or beat Liverpool. That's what I remember them as, really. And because I was a local supporter, I supported Cardiff and I supported Merthyr where I was from, half my class supported Liverpool. So then this team came along and were able to beat Liverpool. So you kind of went, well, I don't mind Nottingham Forest, because at least they're able to beat Liverpool and make it, you know, an interesting game, you know. And that's what I remember them. You're right, he became almost like a mythical figure, and he still is a mythical figure, really, and it's still hard to sort of think of Nottingham Forest and not think of Brian Clough, and that's testimony to him, really.
And one of the great things I enjoy by watching it is just how much of a window to a bygone era it really is. The game today in the modern world is so different to how it was then in the late 70s and in the early 80s. And I mean, it's highlighted by the first European Cup campaign. The first round, they get Liverpool. I mean, the idea of that sort of thing happening, and it's a knockout game. And it was you're up against the champions straight away. Yeah. I mean, it's amazing, really.
They were playing the champions of Europe. Their first game in the history of them being in the European Cup. You know, now they say Manchester City needs 5 or 10 seasons to get used to Europe. Yeah. You hear this all the time. It's like that first game with Nottingham Forest, it draws the double European Cup winning champions, Liverpool. Best team in Europe of the era. Liverpool fans say they're the greatest Liverpool team of all time, the 77, 78, 79 Liverpool team, brilliant side, plus first round Liverpool cup final, get it on. If you lose that, it's not like you can, you know, draw or lose away to the fourth place Swiss champions or Swiss league team. You have to win that game, and that's what they did, and they could only play champions. So every time they played a team, Ajax, the champions of Holland, Cologne, the champions of Germany, so they had to play the champions every single step of the way. And I remember vividly as a kid, you know, the imagery, and as you said, it was a different time, a different era. You didn't see football on television, so the final of European Cup, like the FA Cup final, was, you know, played live on TV, you know. So it was a big treat for you as a kid to sit down in front of this, you know, screen, and then you'd see the lush green grass of Munich and these shimmering red Adidas kits. It was a magical world for us as kids, you know, to watch a live football match from continental Europe. It was amazing.
And really, to put it into perspective, I think we take for granted, really, just how much of an achievement this was. Not to win just one European Cup at the first time of asking, when they've just won the league at the first time of asking, to win it again. I mean, nowadays, but as good as Barcelona have been in the last sort of 5 to 10 years, they can't win it back-to-back. And with a team of players who, you know, some of them, Trevor Francis being the big example, cost a lot of money, but some of them have been there all the way through when they were middling around in the old second division.
Absolutely right. I mean, five of the team were already there, and he turned them into double European Cup winners. And I think what happened with the second European Cup, it showed it wasn't a fluke. It showed what a great side they were. And there's all these great stats about that team. I mean, they went on, you know, unbeaten for 42 games. People remember that. But they only lost once then in 63. So they won another 21 games after that. And remember, these were teams that were playing the best teams, not just in Britain, in Europe. So, that, you know, this wasn't a side that went unbeaten in the third division or, you know, the championship. But this was a team that was, like, winning the title. And they were winning league cups. They were winning European cups. So an incredible side. I mean, really, one of the best domestic football teams that ever existed. And they played possession-based football with a cutting edge. They were compact in defence. They had the best goalkeeper in the world, Peter Shilton, at the time. You know, it was no fluke, really, that they did what they did. They did it because they were a brilliant side with brilliant players.
And you do get the sense that maybe no other man could have done what Clough did in terms of his methods and some of the things that he did in terms of the lack of training at times and the very primitive training methods and, you know, giving the players a drink before or after the game if he felt they needed it and all these kind of peculiar sort of things that seem so alien to us nowadays. But you get the sense that it was Clough that tied it all together and made those players, no matter how good they would have been without him, he made them better than they probably would have been otherwise.
I mean, somebody wrote in one review that for all the analysis and data analysis they've got now and the diets, Clough, with one little sign with his hand, could achieve the same result.
Yeah.
Just by saying to a player, well done. Or just by saying to a player, if you've got your back to the goal, lay it off and then turn and you know, get into an area near the corner flag. Say to John Robertson, I want you to take the ball side on so you can see the pitch, see where the ball's coming and look forward. Really simple, brilliant instructions. He said to Colin Barrett, the defender, if you're left back and you lose left winger or the right winger out of your one eye, then it means you've lost them. So just keep them in your eye line. And you sit there and you think, these are bits of magic that I've never heard before, that he was telling these players. So he was a brilliantly intuitive man. But what he did was he communicated what he knew brilliantly.
You get the sense that, well, something that shines through, I think, from hearing all the testaments from the players and the stories they tell, even players that may have fallen out with him from time to time or in the role of manager, he's going to drop them. Archie Gemmell being a great example, being dropped from a European Cup final. But there's no resentment, there's no bitterness, and it, you know, they would come back and help out and coach in the future with him, and they all loved him so much, and that's still very apparent when you hear them speak today.
Yeah, they were all really fond of him. I mean, even Larry Lloyd, who, like you say, was the one he was the most tempestuous with, loved him, you know, and he says even now, you know, I loved him as he was with me, and I can see now as an older gentleman, as I matured through the years, that I was quite a cocky young man, and maybe I needed to take him down a peg or two. And he said Brian was able to do that, and I can see what he did now was... So I think with age and maturity comes a realisation of how brilliant that he was and how, you know, listen, if somebody gives you two Champions League medals, you're going to say they were all right and they were right, really. That's what you're going to do in years to come. And I think that's what's happened with a lot of them. They've all kind of, as age has come with them, gone, that was incredible what happened. We were part of something really special, and somebody really special was our manager.
So you're 11th in the UK box office already after one night. Where can everyone watch it around the country from now on?
So if you go on to, from tomorrow night, it's nationwide, which is Tuesday, and if you go on to a website, which is www.ibelieveinmiraclesfilm.com, you go straight into a website, and if you put in the location, it'll tell you the local cinema, and it's on right across the country on tomorrow night.
Brilliant. Johnny, thanks very much for your time, and good luck with the film. Cheers.
All the best. Bye-bye. Cheers.
We are going up live.
So where do we think Nottingham stands in the British football pyramid at the minute as a city?
Well, it's not in its finest hour at the moment, I'd have to say. We've talked a lot about Notts County today and their ongoing struggles with consistency, and they're in League Two for the first time in quite a while. And Nottingham Forest, a proud history, you know, as we've heard there, talking to Johnny about the film and the great history of Brian Clough and the success in Europe and winning all those cups, winning the league. You know, they're nowhere near that today. They're absolutely light years away. And of course, we live in different times, and that can never be repeated. But I think for Forest, the success that they had under Brian Clough is a problem for them in some ways, and I would say it's similar to a different situation, but similar to a club like Liverpool or maybe a club like Sheffield Wednesday. These teams that have had success in the past, and that's always there. It's always there in the background. It's always there in the minds of the fans. Oh, we used to be winning European Cups. We used to be Premier League team. We used to win the league. Why aren't we doing what we used to do? And I don't think that helps managers, and sometimes it can add an extra layer of pressure to an already pressurised situation. But I suppose, looking at the two clubs broadly, Notts County and Nottingham Forest, they're both examples of clubs that have spent too much time messing around off the pitch with bad decisions in the boardroom, ownership issues, changes of owners, leading to a succession of managers, changing managers. Both clubs have changed.
I wonder how many managers both clubs have had collectively since we started doing this podcast.
Exactly.
I'd say near 10, 15 or something.
Exactly, and that can never be a good thing, I don't think. It's when you're changing manager too often, you need some consistency, and it smacks of neither club having a proper strategy, as a philosophy of what they want to be and what they're trying to achieve. They go from one solution to the next, one kind of manager to another kind of manager. You know, Forrest appointing, you know, look at the managers Forrest have had, have been so different. You know, Stuart Pearce, the hero from his playing days. You've got Steve McLaren, you had Steve Cottrell, and at the moment you've got Dougie Freedman, who was a surprise choice, a bizarre choice really when he took over. So to me, it doesn't look like they really know exactly what they want. And the owner, Al Asawi, he obviously cares a lot about the club, and he's quite a passionate guy and communicates relatively well, always on Twitter and stuff like that. But you know, it's taken him a while to get to grips with it, I think, and you know, there's still probably some question marks out there from supporters in terms of how successful they could be under his stewardship.
I'd love to see Forest in the Premier League. I cannot wait for that day whenever it happens,
because they are a great club. The City Ground's one of my favourite grounds to go to when that place is rocking and there's a full house, and you know, you are, the memories do come flooding back of the successful days that they've had there. And I think they're a club that, largely because of Brian Clough and such a magnetic, charismatic personality, a lot of people have an affection for Forest, and one of the great provincial clubs who had success in the 80s. And I think people would like to see that back, but they're a long way off. They're middling around in mid-table. They're doing terribly at home this season in particular, and it doesn't look like anytime soon they're going to be getting up the table.
I reckon we should do another live one of these, pick a different city and maybe explore this theme. And if you want more on this, the Two Unfortunates are doing a series of blog posts at the minute about it.
Indeed, football cities, and I was reading this morning the one about Bristol, which is really pretty much the biggest city in England that's never really produced a properly successful team. And they were discussing the possibility.
Don't tell Sean that.
Discussing the possibility of a merger. That always sort of comes up, and you know, the history of Rovers and City, and kind of looking at why, if you can at all find reasons as to why those teams have never really been that successful. There was a good one about MK Dons and kind of their standing in the football world. I think they did one on Newcastle as well. It's been a good series, and I think there's some more to come as well.
Do you want to go inside?
Absolutely frozen.
Could you see it? At the back of my head. Right, okay.
News, though.
Oh, you got some news, go on.
You about to go, were you? About to sign off. Yeah, well, of course. We've got to have an update, haven't we, from Clapham Common.
Oh, go on.
Yeah. It's good news. A 3-2 victory for Ribblesdale Rovers. Goals from Johnny Tony Aboa Badrock. So there must have been a goal that's gone in off the bar. Dom Greg Halford Entwistle. Don't know why it's called Greg Halford. And Simon Harrison Reed Blacksall. There you go.
There you go.
Still unbeaten.
Well done, the Ribblesdale Rovers. Right, that is it for We Are Going It this week. Thanks for listening. The Twitter is at Wagyu Podcast. Facebook page, facebook.com/Wagyu Podcast. Instagram as well. We put some pictures from our visit to Meadow Lane today on the Instagram page. Also, you can download a free audiobook if you go to audible.co.uk/goingup. get a 30-day free trial. Download whatever you want, and you can cancel before the end of the trial period. And also, would you like to win £200 worth of Amazon vouchers?
Yes, please.
This is what you do. You need to go to podcast-survey.com. What's that, Mark?
What is that, Mark?
Podcast-survey.com. Basically, it's a questionnaire. Fill it in, and you'll be entered into a draw to win £200 of Amazon vouchers, and it helps podcasts like us do some like advertising stuff or something. It kind of, it's like information on the audience.
All right, good.
Okay, so there you go.
Can I do it?
Yeah,
can
go and do it right now.
Can I win?
Am
I allowed?
I think so, yeah.
Huh.
I think so. Right, that is it. We'll speak to you. We're going to do a show next week. I think next week is our month of specials continues on We Are Going Up.
This is the We Are Going Up podcast.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
We've got the Football League covered.